Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Oendo PLC 2016 half-year update. All participants are currently in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please also note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to the Group Chief Executive, Adewale Tidibu.
We do have thanks for joining us for Oendo PLC's half-year update presentation. I appreciate the faces that shared with our stakeholders have shown over the last 3 months, as we've had to comply with the requirements of the Financial Reporting Council and submit our year-end financial results for regulatory review as a result of an emphasis of matter highlighted by our auditors regarding the negative working capital of the company and the impairment of the last two financial years, 2014 and 2015. Both which have been remedied to discuss in the course of this call how those things have been remedied. In today's presentation, I'll give a brief recap of our operational financial performance, after which I'm Adea, my CFO, will provide further in-depth detail on our financial results, and then I'll speak to our future plans. The plunge in oil prices continued in 2015, and as such, global oil and gas players have had to adjust their operations, also in the business models, and introduce initiatives to ensure they survive the new reality. The oil and gas industry has picked up the theme of so-called cost optimization and increased operational efficiency in a significant downscale in capital expenditure. As we stepped into 2016 on the path of recovery, we implemented a six-month corporate initiative strategy to ensure our business returns to profitability in this financial year. The strategy involves developing our business as evidenced by the 108 billion medium-term loan, which we have recently restructured, signed, and commenced operations with. Further optimization of the balance sheet through the disposal of $350 million in assets, which we believe will set us on the path towards an optimal capital structure, and one which we are well on the way to achieving, having already achieved over 60% of that plan in the first half of this year. Though we have placed significant focus on the affirmative strategic initiatives to move our business into profitability, we must recognize the operational milestones we have achieved as a group. And on energy resources, we've increased our total production to 20 million barrels of oil equivalent, which is MMBOE in 2015, compared with 9.1 million barrels of oil in 2014. Increase between the annual prayers was primarily from the acquisitions of 60 to 63 in the second half of 2014, as well as the commercial production from the Quaibo field in the first quarter of 2016. Our 2015 year end summer reserves reduced, recorded a 6% growth in 2P reserves from 420 million barrels of oil equivalent to 445 million barrels of oil equivalent, and a 7% increase in 2P resources. So indeed, we are increasing our reserves faster than we are depleting them. In 2015, oil has successfully realized a cash hedge for the previously hedged average of $95.35 per barrel to a new price of $65 per barrel on 10,615 barrels per day until July 2017, and an additional 1,553 barrels per day until January 2019. Proceeds of the hedge reset along with the cash in hand were used to pay down substantial portions of our debt. We view this as a remarkable achievement, being able to reduce our debt from over $900 million in July of 2014 pre-acquisition to $488 million at the end of Q1 2016 and $449 million as of today. Therefore, easing the burden of huge debt servicing in the business to ensure we can focus on doing our upstream business. Indeed, over 50% of the liability has been paid off in under two financial years. Similarly, to other industry players, we are taking steps to ensure our upstream business is financially prudent, and as such, we announced our plans to delist Oendo Resources from the Toronto Stock Exchange, owing to the fact that we are likely to receive any significant returns of fresh capital injections in the near future. The delisting, along with other pragmatic steps, have helped to reduce our general administrative costs from $3.70 in Q1 2015 to $3.19 in Q1 2016 on a per barrel basis. And the midstream, I guess in power business, continues to expand its footprint, build sustainable projects which can realize lucrative returns and transfer onto other players to carry on the legacy. It is to this tone that we successfully divested the 12.15 Bagwell Equity IPP, which serves as a negative water corporation. This transaction affects the apparent sector in developing gas and power solutions nationwide, putting them into operation and exiting them at a substantial return. In a bid to pursue our goal of revolutionizing gas supply and being a premier gas solution provider in the country, Rwanda Gas and Power signed a gas development agreement to build 20 million standard cubic feet per day mini liquefied natural gas plant in Ajaokuta, Kogi State. The project will service a 1,000-kilometer radius in the northern part of the country, and the project is expected to commence by Q2 2017. It is our intention that once this pilot scheme is successful, that there will be a rollout of similar schemes in other parts of the country. In the downstream, Rwanda Marketing completed upgrading of its LPG plant. The Apapa LPG plant capacity was upgraded from 15 metric tons per day to 30 metric tons per day, representing 100% increment, while the Benin plant was upgraded to include best in industry safety standards. Rwanda PLC agreed to terms of recapitalization into Rwanda downstream shares in the ground investment of $210 million from Vissel, the World Credit Commercial Trader, and Helios Investment Partners, the premier West African Prosperity Equity Firm, actually the largest African Prosperity Equity Firm. This alliance serves as a testament of Rwanda's legacy of building successful downstream partnerships, and is an expectation that we will rejuvenate the Nigerian downstream sector to operational efficiencies and economies of scale, and are thereby serving the country even better and clearly making better returns for shareholders. The transaction was finalized, and the proceeds from the recapitalization of the business have been utilized primarily towards debt reduction. The first quarter has demonstrated our commitment to return to profitability this year. However, in the second quarter, we expect to report materially lower earnings due to the impact of the Naira devaluation against the dollar, resulting in unrealized foreign exchange losses as a result of our U.S. dollar denominated borrowing, which have arisen in divisions which are primarily Naira generators. Outstanding bank trade facilities, as well as vendor payables, are also included. As of the time of the devaluation, the company had U.S. dollar denominated liabilities of $260 million, consisting of $68 million in core loans, $89 million in bank trade facilities, $63 million in asset financing, and $21 million in other payables. A devaluation of about 40% of the price of Naira against the U.S. dollar from the floating bank rate of approximately 1.99 to 1 to approximately 2.80 to 1 has effectively resulted in these significant foreign exchange losses, which we have put in the books into our financial statement. At an average cost, average difference of 18 naira to 1, the unrealized foreign exchange loss would be around the region of 20 billion naira. Despite these challenges, we will focus on consistently delivering our strategy of growth through a dollar earning option portfolio, the leverage through the capitalization of assets or asset divestment, and profitability aims in growing our dollar earnings upstream, higher margin export trading businesses, which will not be impacted by the volatility of foreign exchange rates to the Naira. We remain confident in our diversified business model and look forward to fulfilling when we realize our solutions and return to profitability. This concludes the operational review for the period. I would now like to hand over to Sami Adeyemo, Chief Financial Officer, who will give a comprehensive overview of our financial results and then return to me for an overview of our business case going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll do a quick review of our 2016 full year numbers and a bit more detail of our fourth quarter 2016. Turnover for the period was 382 billion, and at this point in time, I'm talking about the full year 2015 numbers. Turnover for the period was 382 billion, a decrease of 10% compared to the previous year. The drivers for this, the reduction in volumes traded across all product lines in the downstream. In addition, there was a reduction in our revenue from the operating rig as a result of the number of reduction in the number of rigs in operation, as well as all the allied services that have to do with the energy services division. That was offset by an increase in trading revenue by our trading division. The fact that we had full year revenue from the newly acquired OM of 62-63 compared to the 5 months that were in 2014, and an increase in the volume of gas sold by our midstream division due to new additional connects of new customers. Our gross margin increased by 5.4 billion against the prior year, against the previous year, driven by an increase in gas price, which was revised from $7.34 per standard to $7.34 per standard cubic meter from $7.21, and the slight impact of the currency devaluation, at least for that period, which currently devalued from 157 to 1 average in 2014 to 194.66 to per dollar in 2015. There were improved margins of 7.6 billion in revenue from our newly acquired assets, so that's the upstream assets OML 60-63. In addition, however, that was offset by the reduced margin for our energy services division due to the aforementioned reduction in the value of operations. Non-interest expenses decreased by 17.1 billion. I need to just highlight the fact that we had a significant amount in 2014, which was driven by the 20.7 billion one-off acquisition-related expenses. However, that was offset by a slight increase in our staff costs, which increased by 3.6 billion. Other operating income decreased by 29.4 billion, 43% below the prior year due to the fourth loss in valuation from the new edge price reset from $97 per barrel to $65 per barrel. This was, however, offset by the fact that there was a loss on the sale of our East Horizon gas company, which was sold in 2014. Because that was one off, of course, that would be in the peak itself in 2015. There was an increase in exchange in as well in 2015 compared to 2014, an increase of about 8.4 billion naira. Our net finance cost increased by 16 billion naira, about 46% above that of the prior year, driven by the following things. One, there was an increase in the finance cost as a result of the fact that we had the full year impact of the carrying cost of the upstream assets that were acquired in 2014, compared to just about half a year that we had in 2014. In addition, we had to carry the related reserve-based facilities and the corporate facilities for those assets, which contributed an additional 5.2 billion to our interest cost. There was a relative reduction in the interest income in the downstream. On many occasions, we have excess cash in the downstream, but last year, considering the significant reduction in the level of activity, we did not witness we were not able to realize the high interest income that normally would have realized. And finally, there was a higher cost as a result of the conversion of some dollar-denominated facilities that we had in the energy services division. Our depreciation increased by 10.5 billion compared to the previous year, driven by the fact that we had 12 months of the upstream, newly acquired upstream assets in 2015 compared to 5 months in 2014. There was a lower depreciation for the energy services rig, reflecting the lower valuation of those rigs as a result of the impairment that we took in 2014. Impairments of assets were down significantly by 90%, driven mainly by the fact that in 2014 we had actually taken a significant amount of impairment, and so there was very, very little need for any impairment in 2015. Loss before tax as a result of all the foregoing was 51 billion naira, and the loss after tax was 49.7 billion naira. In terms of the balance sheet, I think that has increased by about 10% to about 55 billion naira, driven mainly by the additional investment that was to make, especially in the upstream. Non-current receivables increased by 1.8 billion naira as a result of the increase in receivables from one of our operating partners in the upstream network exploration and production, the JV partner on our Kwaibu assets. Stocks reduced by 44 billion naira to 44% to 15 billion naira, driven by the lower level of activity, especially in the downstream. I must state that most of the amounts that we carry as stocks or inventory are driven by the level of activity in the downstream. Our trade and other receivables and other debtors rose by 9% to 146 billion naira, reflecting in part the state of especially the government receivables that we had at the end of 2015. Our bank and cash balances were up to 44 billion naira, a 7% increase. Total borrowings decreased by 73 billion naira to 400 billion naira, driven by one, a net reduction in our borrowing in the upstream as a result of the repayment of about 51 billion naira and $51 billion and $187 million of the corporate facility and the senior secured facilities respectively. All this added to about 49 billion naira. A proportion of the convertible notes that we were carrying at the beginning of 2015 were converted during the year to equity, realizing 46 billion naira of additional equity. Overall, our equity and reserves was 51 billion naira, representing a 17% increase, driven by the rights issue that we did during the year, as well as the level of operation for the year. Going into 2016, the fourth quarter of 2016, our total loss for the fourth quarter was 64.4 billion naira, a 34% decrease compared to the previous year. This was driven by a further reduction in the volumes traded in the fourth quarter of 2016 compared to the same period in 2015. A 7.6 billion naira reduction in oil revenue as a result of an 11% drop in production, as well as an oil price decline from about $43.32 per barrel realized in 2015 to $34.15 per barrel realized in the fourth quarter of 2016. However, there was a positive impact as a result of a further increase in gas prices. Gas prices for our midstream went up to $7.38 per standard cubic meter from $7.34 per standard cubic meter. In addition, there was an upward movement in exchange rate variance due to an average exchange rate of 220 naira per dollar compared to 187.7 naira per dollar for 2015. Considering the fact that our upstream business is denominated in dollars, that translates to a higher naira number. Gross margin was at 9.2 billion naira, a 55% decrease from prior year due to one, the lower margin driven by lower revenue from the downstream sector, as mentioned earlier. Higher production expenses in the upstream, leading to a reduced margin of about 8.6 billion naira in the fourth quarter. However, those were positively impacted by the improved margins in the energy services business as a result of reduced staff on the rigs in the fourth quarter of 2015. Non-interest expenses for the period decreased by 9.1 billion naira, at 90% below comparative period, due to the following. One, there was an unrealized exchange loss due to naira devaluation in the fourth quarter of 2015, which, if you recall, to the same magnitude in 2016. Secondly, there was general administrative expenses savings from the OER division due to the reduced professional services fees and advisory fees that we had, as well as a fairly significant reduction in staff numbers towards the end of 2015. However, we had to book a bad debt provision of about 5.7 billion naira in the books of our energy services business for the fourth quarter of 2016, and this provided a negative impact. Other operating income increased by 22.2 billion naira, above 624% above 2015, due mainly to the following. One, there was a gain of 20.8 billion, and another 1.9 billion from the disposal of our energy services business, as well as the farming arrangement that we entered into. Net finance costs increased by 692 million, a 6% increase due to the following. One, there was a slight devaluation in the naira, and that devaluation, considering the fact that we had a fairly sizable amount of dollar-denominated facilities translated into increased finance costs when it has been. And amortization was at 7.9 billion naira, an increase of 438 million, again reflecting more to the fact that a significant amount of our depreciation is denominated in dollars, and that the depreciation in the naira against the dollar translates into a higher depreciation number for us. There was lower taxes, mainly because of the deferred tax credit that we received from one of our subsidiaries, Oando Oil Limited. Given all of this, profit after tax was at 4.1 billion, billion naira. Group balance sheet highlights, fixed assets was down by about 1% to 608 billion compared to the end of 2015. Receivables of 4 billion is a slight increase from end of 2015 as well. Stocks went further down by 19%, further reflecting the lower level of activity that we had, especially in the downstream business. Our bank and cash balances were at 38.8 billion, a decline of 5%, reflecting the state of the business and the fact that some of the restricted cash that we had in the previous year and was released that we were able to utilize in running the business. Trade and other creditors increased by 5% to 224 billion. Total borrowings decreased by 14% due to the following. One, the energy services debt of 43 billion naira, which hitherto was consolidated into the company, was consolidated as a result of the disposal. Net reduction in OER's borrowing, that's our upstream business, as a result of the repayment of principal for the fourth quarter of 2015, as well as the fourth quarter of 2016. The decrease, in addition, there was decreased borrowing in the downstream due to the reduced level of imports during the period. Given all, equity and reserves were up slightly by about 8% to 54.8 billion naira. At this point, I will hand over to Mr. Timbo again to just continue with the discussion. Okay, sorry, just before I do that, let me do a quick run through of our unrealized foreign exchange losses. As stated earlier, we are expecting about 21 billion naira of unrealized foreign exchange losses, driven by the following. We've got US denominated borrowing of $65.4 million. These are borrowings that we will call debt for the company. We had trade financing facilities of $88.7 million. Asset financing, including some of the facilities that we use to finance the acquisition of the upstream business, of $83 million. And finally, other payables, including vendor payables, and some interest payables, especially for the convertibles that we had, of about 20.8 million dollars. In total, these numbers add up to $215 million, and applying 81 naira to the dollar, approximately representing the devaluation of the naira from $199 to the dollar to $280 to the dollar, means that we are looking at 20.89 billion naira of unrealized foreign exchange losses. I must state that as of today, about 60% of these facilities have effectively been converted to naira, and so I am going further. I do not expect any significant impact, or I do not expect us to realize any other foreign exchange losses, even if there is further the devaluation of the naira against the dollar. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Daniel. Well, 2015 was a story of the collapse of the oil price. $220 billion delayed project in 2016, the services industry shrinkage, and 2016 is a year of foreign exchange volatility, further reduction in oil prices, Niger Delta militancy, and clearly production declines across the board in the Niger Delta. The question is, what do these challenges hold for Rwanda? We sought to create a strategic plan to isolate the country from these risks, and we have done that in terms of dealing of having a hedge in place to deal with the oil prices. We also realized that the best thing to do was to reduce our leverage substantially so that we were not exposed to high interest charges as the reduction in oil price meant that there would be less cash flow to service these obligations, and better value was derived in the sell down of non-core assets towards reducing this debt. Our first target was $350 million in debt reduction via asset sales, which we did, and we completed the recent 49% plus 2% sale to Alias Vehicle Consortium, generating the capitalization proceeds of over 210 billion naira. That created technically a reduction. We have a reduction in our energy for interest and taxes of 16.6 billion, but reduces our annual finance cost by 12.2 billion, increases our PAT by 8.9 billion, and increases our net current assets by 55.6 billion. The next thing we did was to restructure all our facilities to ensure that we move these assets from current liabilities to longer term liabilities, and accordingly improving our working capital position. So this is underscored by the 108 billion medium term loan which we took by consortium of the Eleven Bank, and that was done as a substantially reduced interest rate, which was NIBOR, 5-year NIBOR plus 200 basis points, or an average of 15% per annum. That has achieved a 7.7 billion naira per annum reduction in our finance cost, which will translate to a profit impact of 7.7 billion plus, and also it has improved our net current assets by 110 billion. This was critical in terms of being able to improve the working capital position of the company, and accordingly deal with the emphasis of fact that it was raised earlier on in our 2015 financials. Similarly, the next strategic initiative we had was to convert a substantial amount of debt to equity, and we achieved the conversion of $150 million plus of notes into equity, and this would reduce our finance cost in services by $3.4 billion per annum, certainly have a similar impact on GDP, and also improve our net current assets by $37.2 billion. By these three singular activities, we've had close to $200 billion improvement in our working capital, as we are now servicing the liabilities over a longer period of time, or we're no longer servicing them because they've been converted into equity in the company. We have also done a divestment of fire management buyout of a services business, and this has the advantage because the consolidation is $2 billion of debt and negative reserves of 104%. We seek to do one more with divestment before the end of the financial year to generate, or a series of divestments to generate $100 million of of proceeds, which would be utilized in substantially reducing medium-term facility in a bid towards substantially reducing our debt and putting that debt as our reserve-based facility is extinguished as a result of consistent production by the Niger Delta asset. If you refer to slide 21, you see that as of December 14th, Rwanda had an overall debt portfolio of 473 billion naira. Said debt portfolio as of March 2016 has reduced to 345 billion, and as of June 2016, that is further down to 300 billion naira. It's our expectation that we will substantially reduce this debt, and we seek towards achieving a debt profile of less than 200 billion naira, which will be primarily driven by our upstream assets, which have a $440 million corporate facility and reserve facility, and at current exchange rate, that's about $112 billion, and the residual portion of our medium-term book. I think that what the company has focused on really sets it up to effectively compete in today's world in the downstream by virtue of a deep partnership. It effectively sets its continued reliance on its gas proceeds and its gas cash flows from a perfectly elastic demand curve, only challenging our gas business being production challenges which we face in Niger Delta as a result of militancy, thus affecting the flow of gas by our network. And finally, a similar challenge which we face in our upstream assets, which saw after the average production for the year dropped from 55 billion to 45,000 barrels a day. We look forward to the improvement in security, and there is a renewed security effort to have cracked down to reduce the incidences of attacks on our pipelines, and we should see a recovery of our production together with the gradual recovery in international oil and gas prices, or crude oil prices. With that in mind, I now open the floor to questions, and we're more than willing to answer any questions which you may have as a result of this presentation and the financial hearing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star and then 1 on your touchtone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star and then 2 to remove yourself from the question queue. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then 1 now. Our first question is from Gideon Tushloten of Standard Bank. Please go ahead.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. I have a couple of questions, but I think I'll just take them in turn so I allow others to ask their questions. I just want to find out, for the gas and power business, what's the volume of your gas currently? And from the presentation, it appears that gas prices have been improving from around 721 to 734 to 738. So I'm wondering what's the core driver and what are of this increase in price. That's my first question. Then for your asset divestment, there's no timeline for OES. I know there's a timeline for production business. There's one for the gas and power in your presentation, but there's none for OES. So I'm sure you will have a timeline on that. And I would like to know for the divestment for production business and others, will the proceeds be in US dollars or naira? I just don't have an idea to know how that will impact your books going forward. Then for your upstream business, I noticed that there was no mention of production volumes in the presentation for oil and gas. I would like to know what you do currently and what the outlook is in terms of your production profile. I think I'll stop at that for the moment. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the question. In terms of gas and power, installed capacity via the pipeline is 100 million standard cubic feet per day. Typically, we've been averaging around the 60. But unfortunately, as a result of the recent Niger Delta challenges, we're down to 40% throughput. And this is something which we expect to be temporary, and we expect really to to go back to our former volumes. In terms of asset divestment, the driver of our gas price is actually a netback, and it's a netback from the input price from our partners in Nigerian Gas Company, which is a gas subsidiary of the NNPC. We have long-term contracts signed, and that's signed at 75% of the price of LUPO fuel oil in US dollars. So we do have a right to actually adjust our gas prices. So our primary driver is the LUPO fuel oil price, which is the price of the alternative fuel, coupled with the exchange rate, which creates an insulation for us in terms of foreign exchange reduction or reduction in value of the naira. In terms of asset divestment, we have considered our downstream divestment. We have considered the OES divestment. We still have a substantial loan instrument exposed to OES, which we expect that as the market improves and the price of crude increases, and those that go back to what they eventually do, we will be able to recoup some of our revenues from the company, but the company has been divested by an ongoing bank. We have plans to do a similar deal on our gas assets to bring in capital. And that capital clearly will only have one target, which is further debt reduction, to ensure that in this era of low oil prices, we have more than enough cash flow to service our net debt on our lean operating entity. The proceeds of divestment of our upstream assets was US dollars. So we received north of 65 billion naira for divestment, the partial divestment in the downstream business. It was a partial divestment, as mentioned, as well as a recapitalization, as a lot of the capital went into was increasing the overall size of the balance sheet of the group. And that was achieved by a group of proceeds with net reduction.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Okay.
That's all I got.
Our current oil and gas production.
For the oil production, it's currently 14,000 barrels. So the NGLs are producing about 3,000 barrels. And the barrels of oil equivalent in gas are currently producing about 25,000 barrels of oil equivalent. In terms of ratios, we'll be looking at 50% in terms of gas, 30% in terms of, 30% in terms of oil and 10% in terms of gas. Sorry, NGLs.
So overall barrels of oil equivalent per day.
51,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day.
That's as of today. This trend has been seen us reduced from an average of 55,000 a day, and this is primarily as a result of Niger Delta security issues. We've had several of our pipelines blown up, and we are very quick to repair them. But the overall average production, year-to-date production has dropped significantly. We expect this to be remedied as the area stabilizes as a result of the federal government and security crackdown, and we look forward to the new steady future production. Thank you very much. I'll go on to the next question.
Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one now. We do have follow-up questions from Gidenta. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Ed. It's Gidenta again. So I just wanted to double show on your discontinued operations. So basically, I would conclude that the downstream business has been discontinued in terms of reporting, and then the gas and power, and also the... Yeah, I think those two businesses. And okay, no, the energy servicing business. I'm wondering if that is correct from where I stand, really.
From a reporting point of view, only the marketing business we will no longer be consolidated, or it will be actually, but it will be a line item. We have an investment. OES has been, OES effectively has actually been divested, so it will no longer appear on our financials. The only thing that will occur would be whatever loans the company still owes on the PLC will be reported. Rwanda Equity Power Limited will have for sale as well, and that will still stay there until it's, the conclusion of the divestment process. And the power plant, which was the negative water consumption power plant, has actually been divested completely and will no longer be reported in the contract.
And then, sorry, could you just tell us where you got cut off in terms of your question? And we'll continue from there.
Okay, all right. I was just trying to reconfirm what Mr. Demo said on the call, saying 60% of the debt in the U.S., of the $250 million, have been converted to Naira post and future results. I just wanted to be sure that I heard that correctly.
Yes, you heard that correctly. As a result of part of the capital, the structuring of our facilities, we actually did convert about 60% of those that debt, so the $257 to Naira.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. That will be all from my end.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, a final reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one now. It would appear that we have no further questions. Do you have any closing comments?
Well, thank you very much for joining us on this call. We look forward to following on when we release our half-year numbers.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Orlando PLC, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.